everyone, and welcome to another episode of The Nexus. This is episode 11, recording on February 3rd, yes. 2020. I messed that up. But you can always check us out on nexuspodcast.com to find the latest episode and all the backlog of episodes. Available on all major platforms as well. Spotify, iTunes, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, all that good stuff.
I added Google Podcasts.
That's good. I'm glad you did. Exactly. See, we're trying out some new stuff. We're collaborating a little bit more online. And playing out the podcast a lot more.
So it's not all like last.
So yeah, it's not all like super rushed.
And then we're mad at each other behind the scenes.
Yeah. Really. And then for those of you watching live on Twitch, we're trying out live captions, which I tried on my stream of Control this past Saturday, but it seems to work pretty well. It's neat, and it'll make my job easier when posting show notes and stuff, because then I can copy the whole thing
it and post it. Exports the script.
It will.
Of everything?
It will. Yeah, wow. It's really cool. So thank you, Unalesca, for pointing this tool out to me. That was really cool. Just, yeah. I mean, it's doing its best.
It is
for a free tool. It's not that bad.
Hopefully, we won't talk over each other too much.
No, we'll get into a groove. We'll figure it out. But enough chit-chatting because we have a very stacked episode. Ugh. It's been a very up and down week for Blizzard. Oh my goodness.
And there's a lot of stuff. With all the games happening, there's something happening almost for every single
game. Yeah, every single game has something going on, it seems like, or something to talk about. But anyways, what we always like to start the top of the show off with is our week in gaming. Myself, I mentioned it, I did finish Control, and I'm very much looking forward to the DLC that is coming out sometime this year. There's a lot of really cool stuff in the game and the story that didn't get fully explained, and so I'm looking forward to them fleshing some of that out, and supposedly it connects with Alan Wake, which I never played, but I've heard is really good as well. So I will probably try to play that before the DLC comes out, because I like when game companies connect stories from separate games like that. And it's all like sci-fi, conspiracy theory kind of thing. It's really neat. I definitely recommend it for people looking for a single-player game that's a little off the beaten path. So, yeah.
Okay.
Cool. That, as well as... with the new raid, of course, I'm back to raiding every week. So
for World of Warcraft.
I'm at 6 of 12 normal. We'll extend this week to try to finish things out and finish Nazoth. And then I watched a bit of the Hearthstone Masters this weekend. Mm-hmm. And that was fun to see.
Where was that being happening?
In Austin, Texas.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Far, far away.
Far from us.
Yeah. Let's see. So then, for me, I actually started playing Warcraft 3 Reforged yesterday, and then a little bit today. I'm 5 chapters in to the Horde storyline. That's all the gaming I've had recently, because I've got another cold version of this cold. So my sinuses are a little congested right now. I am excited. I did watch some Nintendo developer, or like, videos that they post. And there's a new level 5 game, well, new to the US, level 5 game called Snack World Plus. And apparently it's a 3DS game that was in Japan that was really successful. But they're porting over to the Switch on February 14th, which is really, really soon. And for $50, I'm going to buy it because it totally reminds me of Fantasy Life, which is a really fun 3DS game that I never really... I sunk in like 40 hours into that game one summer. So I'm excited about that. And then there's another game I'm wanting to buy on the Switch called Coffee Talk. And it's like $12. But basically, it's you working at a coffee shop and you talk to your patrons and help them solve their life problems. And it's so stupid, but it has coffee and I had to have it. And I think you even like draw coffee art in it.
Okay, that's really cool. Like,
super excited. So for future games. And then, of course, Animal Crossing. I'm waiting.
Yeah, a lot of games got delayed. So Animal Crossing kind of has its own... window of like a month where that's like the big game, so I'm excited. It's coming out next month.
Okay, good, because I got
unless Nintendo delays it, which I hope they don't, because Final Fantasy 7 got delayed, Cyberpunk 2049 got delayed.
Oh,
So yeah, all those major games got pushed out of the way of Animal Crossing. Maybe Tom Nook paid him off.
I see what you did there.
But yeah, into the big news of the week. Anyone paying any sort of attention to Blizzard this week or gaming news in general has probably heard about this for more negative than positive, unfortunately. Yeah. But Warcraft 3 Reforged did release last week on Tuesday.
Yes.
So the day after we recorded last week's episode. Mm-hmm. But before we get into the nitty-gritty things, I want to know your opinion on it. Because you're kind of coming in new to it a little bit, I feel like.
Completely new. Yeah, I never played any of the Warcraft 3 stuff. I think the only Warcraft 3 stuff I ever watched or dove into was watching competitive Warcraft 3 at, like, BlizzCon years ago. So, yeah, I started it on Sunday night for, like, 2 hours. I got 5 chapters into the story mode for the Horde, as I said earlier. Okay, I knew there was a lot of people complained about it, and I only played the trial or the demo at BlizzCon a few years ago. The graphics look good. Really like the graphics. I love the sound effects. Like, it literally sounds like rainy. Like, I almost want the rain soundtrack just to play on my Alexa when I go to sleep at night. Like, the fire sounds really cool. There's thunderstorms. The voice acting's really good and dynamic. It's definitely one you want to keep the volume on for sure. I really liked zooming in on the graphics of the buildings and characters. But then that, of course, I'm not really playing the game. I'm like zooming in on like the hut or the bunker, right? And build more. I remember build more bunkers. I was getting told that. So I liked it. Do we want to get nitty gritty stuff? Because I'm kind of critical. Like,
oh, we have to get critical of this. Unfortunately, okay. We just have to.
And this is me not having much of an opinion beyond comparing it to anything else. I have nothing to compare it to. When I was playing it, it felt like the UI screen or the box windows were too big. Yeah, like I almost wanted to zoom out further to get more screen real estate, to move Thrall around and stuff like that. Like selecting all my warriors or whatever was really annoying. Like, I bet you there's a hot button key thing, whatever. I don't know those. The tutorial didn't give me those.
That's actually a big complaint that people have had, though, is not being able to really zoom out.
Really?
Much.
It's not just me?
In the selection stuff has been
okay, cool. Because I felt a little like annoying. Really picky. I'm like, I don't know how to compare it.
Yeah.
Because I just wanted to zoom out more.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like I was. Oh, and then every time I'd go like to the bottom of the screen, I love and hate when you have the arrow move down to the screen and then it like moves the screen like in hots.
Yeah.
It kept doing that to me, which is a little annoying, but you know, I can work with that. Let's see. Chapter 4, I appreciated, and it's like a little spoiler. It was a break from the macro because, you know, Thrall is in a dungeon and you have to go through that. So you're basically just going to get warriors and go kill things. It's almost like Diablo.
Yeah. Warcraft. I mean, this is similar to the base they set in StarCraft. They had missions like this where you just controlled units. You didn't have to worry about building and gathering materials and stuff like that. So,
because to me, it gets really complicated. So I really liked that. Like, I was actually going to go to bed. And then I was like, oh, wait, this isn't a chapter where I have to, you know, build a bunch of stuff and everything. So I was like, okay, I'll play it. And I really liked, and it's one of my favorite things with Diablo, is zooming in on features that are in the background of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And it's dark. Oh, it's dark. Like, I took pictures on my phone of my computer screen because I'm that person. But there's, like, corpses lying around. Like, there's a corpse, like, hanging from a gate that is now submerged under red water. Like, and it's just a decayed body. Just, like, that person suffered, like, dying there. Like, that's horrible. And then there's, like, another two of them where there's, like, dead bodies with, like, spikes poking through. Not just, like, through the chest, like, alien style. But, like, full on, like, here's, like, a doll. And then their head is now a spike. Like, there is no head anymore. Like, that is horrifying. And then Murlocs are scary. These Murlocs, like, I don't know, were they scary in the original game? Like, they're kind of cutesy now.
I don't think so. They were kind of cartoony.
Okay, because, yeah, they're terrifying. Vicious. They're vicious little things. Like, there's, like, the head Murloc, whatever, and he's, like, really creepy looking. Like, so I was, like, kind of digging the whole, like, scary Murloc thing. They said the word damn.
Ooh.
They said damn it.
Ooh.
I know. And there's actually a profanity filter on the settings, which I looked at earlier, which is funny. Let's see, what was the other thing I was doing? I think then the last chapter I did before coming here was a survival for 20 minutes. Like, survive before the tides come. And you have to survive. That's your quest to do that. I was bored at 10 minutes in. Like, I legit was looking at my phone. Yeah. Like, I built everything. I'm over capped. I spent all my food resources, whatever that is. I can't make more warriors.
Yeah, high upkeep.
And so I'm like, I have to now wait here for 5.5 more minutes while I have a few mobs come kill me at the two sides. Like, it was really boring. And it kind of feels slow. Like, I don't know if that was the original Warcraft. I know it's an old game.
It is. It's definitely by design. They made it a little slower than StarCraft was. Mostly because it's hero-based.
Yeah.
And so it's a mix of an RPG and RTS game. In the sense that
you
have this hero character, you're building them up, leveling them up, getting them items and stuff. And you just have a small army kind of around them.
And I can only carry, like,
six items.
Yeah, that's kind of annoying. Because I was like, unless I use these potions, like, I can't pick up this really cool orb.
Use them. You can, you know, you can drop them on the ground, right?
I know, but I want to use them.
Okay.
For later, like, when I need them. So that was a learning curve. Like, I spent a good amount of time trying to pick up something but not lose another item in the dungeon. That was a little annoying. So that was interesting. And then, so I played it, came over. And the really cool thing that I looked at before I went to bed yesterday was the collections window in the game, in the menu. When you go into the actual launcher, there's a collections button. I clicked it, and you didn't know about this until I just told you earlier.
Yeah, I didn't know.
And it's basically a bunch of skins for units and portraits, and it is that high def, gorgeous looking. Like, I want cards or something, or stickers or artwork or booklets, like books, Blizzard, get on it, of just that artwork, because it's gorgeous stuff. Of like Jaina and Thrall and a Demon Hunter and Arthas. And so it's that high resolution stuff. In a, I guess, a digital format. Like, I don't know what I'm going to do with them. Like, it just looks really cool, but it's kind of like a collector achievement thing, I guess.
Yeah, it's to show off achievements, and you can change your icon. So when you're playing against other people, if you end up doing that, they'll see your icon and be like, oh, that person finished beat the campaign on hard or whatever.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, like, and then when I looked at that, I'm like, oh, this game's big.
Yeah. And I thought what was interesting was most of those are not locked behind buying Reforged, because I actually haven't bought Reforged yet. Just because I'd heard rumblings that they had scaled back a lot of the stuff they had announced at BlizzCon. And so I kind of wanted to wait and see. And sadly, this is, I'm actually pretty okay with not having bought it yet.
Really?
I will buy it when it's on sale.
Okay.
But I'm not eager to buy into it right now.
You played the original. I never played the original.
Yeah. No, I played the original.
The only thing I have close is like watching YouTube videos on the cinematics that people posted. That's all I ever got.
Yeah.
But it's going to be a slow burn.
Yeah. No, it will be. Both the campaigns together are pretty long. But it tells really good story. Probably one of the better RTS stories outside of StarCraft. No bias here.
Yeah, not at all.
But let's unfortunately get into a lot of the issues that the community has brought up with the game. Launch day was a little rough.
I did not log in during that.
But it was probably 4 or 5 hours that people were having problems with starting games and seeing all sorts of bugs and stuff. But most of that initial launch stuff has been resolved, as far as I know. But some of this other stuff is still concerns from the community. And I think some of them are warranted, some of them not necessarily as warranted. Probably the biggest one and the least surprising of changes Blizzard has made to Warcraft 3 is the end user license agreement for map makers now states that basically Blizzard, or not basically, but Blizzard owns anything you create in the maps.
It's like something happened in the past that they're really upset about.
For a little history lesson, for those that somehow don't know this, but Dota, Defense of the Ancients, was created in Warcraft 3, and Blizzard didn't have any legalese for protecting that from being used by anyone else. And so Valve basically bought Ice Frog, one of the creators of Dota, and created Dota 2. And then both Valve and Blizzard eventually came to terms before it went to litigation to allow Valve to use the Dota name. Because if you remember at BlizzCon, before it was Heroes of the Storm, it was called Blizzard Dota.
Yes.
And that's when the litigation against Blizzard happened between Valve and Blizzard. So, but they resolved that out of court, so all good
and
there.
And Dota is now
the and Dota is a Dota giant. Is. And Dota 2 is one of the biggest esports in the world. That's so it definitely stings Blizzard to, I think, to see that.
And it's not surprising, especially if you know that history. You know, they lost a huge chunk of the esport world to that. So, and didn't they have the same legalese in, like, StarCraft?
I think StarCraft 2 implemented this.
Yeah, so it's not a surprise that, you know, the next RTS game is going to have that type of legalese.
Yeah, I get that it is frustrating for map makers. And I know, I believe they have to recreate them for Reforged. You can't just import them
from Warcraft 3,
I believe. Not 100% sure. But we're just going to list some of the more things that people are not happy with. The cinematics were not remastered, and the game was basically announced with the remastered
as
Warcraft
3
as
a major
opening
highlight.
Cinematic is a major highlight. Yeah, I know they talked about voice lines being recorded. That did not get done,
but they sound really good.
Yeah,
they sound really good.
I mean, the voices are still really good, but I don't know. I would have liked to have seen a new spin on it, just because I feel like voice acting and voice direction has come such a long way from
especially
the early 2000s.
Yeah.
So that's definitely disappointing. Probably the most egregious thing that they did in the one I have.
That's a big word.
The most sympathy for people upset about this is that the classic client got automatically updated to Reforged.
Oh, yeah.
So it inherits all the Reforged problems, even if you haven't bought Reforged.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I don't remember if they did this with Brood War, though.
I have no idea.
I have no, with StarCraft Remastered. And if they did, I guess it wasn't as much of an issue because there weren't as many problems with StarCraft Remastered. But, yeah, that's probably the most difficult one. If you have your Warcraft 3 CDs, hang on to them.
One thing to bring up, and I forgot to mention, was with the cinematics not being remastered. Are you going to talk about the comparison of the stuff we saw at BlizzCon?
You can bring that up, yeah.
Because there's a video going around that is a direct side-by-side comparison of the Blizzard 2018 streamers showing the demo that we played back then. It was really cool. It was Arthas at Strathholm and Earth Uther and Jaina and stuff, and they're talking and had really cool camera angles and stuff. And then you go to the game now, and it's not even close to that. It's the original game, just with a little bit more graphics.
It's not the same as the original. It is updated, but it's not updated like we thought it was going to be.
We saw a really high res, different angles and close-ups and everything. And I think the hardest part, people were even complaining about it in the chat when I was playing today, was, that's lying. That's theft. They gave us a product that didn't have that. They are stealing from us or something. And I'm like, that's what movie cinematics do all the time.
It's such a stretch to be able to
call that. Yeah. Because I'm like, okay, we watched, what's that one Star Wars movie?
Rogue One.
And there's a really cool line in the trailer of
Jyn Ezra,
and she's saying how I rebel. That's what we do. I rebel. Like, that line was so cool. And
it was all over every commercial.
And we go in the movie, it's not even in it.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, okay, I was a little disheartened that I didn't get that really amazing line. But then it's like, you know, that didn't make it to the cutting room floor in that movie. Here, especially with budgets and timings and everything, is it sad? Yes. Is it lying and thievery that they didn't give us what they showed us? No. Is it disappointing? Sure.
And I think the people who are most disappointed are the developers themselves.
Yeah.
Because they wanted to put out this really great remastered version.
They had the demo of it.
And whoever above them was like, you got to get this out by this date. And if you got to cut things, so cut be things. It.
Yeah. Because even in the demo, like, you would see Arthas talking to Uther and his mouth is moving up and down and not really moving at all at the same time.
Yeah.
And so that was really choppy and not great. And that would definitely not, that would have been an extra step to get that Blizzard quality. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
That I don't think they would have had the time to do. Like, it would have been a lot later of a delay.
Yeah.
So it's like, I look at the game now and I don't know. I can see the disappointment, but the uproar of it, I'm like, chill your horses a bit.
It's really excessive. It's like, the game is still playable. It's not like it's crashing and it's unplayable. It
looks really good.
Like, I think it looks pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, just, we're just going to list off some things that are not included, but not take too much into detail on this.
That were in the old games?
That were in the original Warcraft 3, or things promised. Automated tournaments, clans, profiles, ladder, the 3D animated campaign backgrounds, 3D animated portraits, and BattleNet. So it's just the static portraits. They were going to be animated originally.
What static? Oh, the little
Portraits. Wisp? Yeah.
Okay.
So I mean, it's a thing that didn't get in there. Yeah. Slash commands in BattleNet chat. Unless you're an old school BattleNet player, you probably don't care about that not being in there.
I have no idea.
Custom campaigns is probably the biggest, like, why is this not in the game?
What was custom campaigns?
People could make campaigns in the map editor, and you could load them up and play through a campaign that someone created. So it has, like, a linear structure. Say I create a campaign with 4 levels. You load that up, and you play 1, 2, 3, 4.
And the only thing I can compare it to is that, like, Super Mario Maker, where you make it on the level. Yeah,
similar to that, but, like,
so, like, if I want to give Thrall a side story.
Yes, exactly.
I can make Thrall not kill people and, like, go evil.
Yeah.
That seems like a lot of work.
It was originally in Warcraft 3, though, so they took it out. How
did that work?
I don't remember the exact details of it, but...
I would almost wonder, on their end, would they want the fan base to have accessibility to that? Because I could also see that being a double-edged sword.
Yeah, but it's something, it's a feature that was in the original that just didn't make it over, which seems weird to me. Like, it's
I can't miss what I didn't have.
I know, so, that's true.
Yeah.
This is, like, a super nitpicky complaint, and I don't really care that much about this, but...
Hence the body position that you're in right now.
The Reign of Chaos campaign balance is using the Frozen Throne balance, so it's a little bit less difficult than it used to be. Because Frozen Throne came out a year after the original game.
What's Frozen Throne?
The expansion for Warcraft 3.
Do I have to buy that?
Nope. It's included. It's here? It's included.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's good.
It's already made.
I'm like, is it already better? Exists.
Okay. But the other thing you were talking about, with it looking sluggish. Now, part of that is due to the fact that the animations, I believe, are locked at 20 FPS. So the rest of the game, running
through that grass, it's really
so the rest
slow.
Of the game runs at whatever FPS your computer can run it at, but those animations, that's why they look so kind of janky.
Yeah, watching Thrall run is very not exciting.
We were going to record this last night, but I'm glad we waited till today, because Blizzard, I know everyone seems to think that, oh, they're not listening to us, they don't care, they have our money, but they have responded, and I feel like this is as good of a response as we can expect in less than a week. But Kyvax responded on the general discussion forums for Warcraft 3 Reforged, and this is I think this is the first post-launch blue post.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to read through this whole thing for you guys.
It's a letter.
It's a letter to players. But here we go. We've been following the discussions the past couple days and want to thank you for your feedback as well as your support. First off, we want to say we're sorry to those of you who didn't have the experience you wanted, and we'd like to share our plans for what's coming next. There were a few hours during launch day where we experienced server load issues that impacted players' ability to jump right in, but we were able to resolve those later in the day. Separate from that, we've seen community feedback about different aspects of Reforge that we want to take some time to address. Before we go on, the team is excited that Warcraft 3 Reforged is finally upon us, and we're fully committed to supporting the game for a long time to come. The next few patches and updates we'll discuss below are just part of our ongoing plans. The game is an integral part of the Blizzard DNA, with a team that loves Warcraft 3, and we're looking forward to pouring our hearts into Reforged and the Warcraft 3 community for the long term. One of the concerns with Reforged that we've seen are the visuals when selecting Classic Mode. We have identified the bug causing the colors and shading to look different from the original Warcraft 3, and we're testing a fix that will be incorporated in a larger patch, addressing the issue in others. We expect to release that late this week. The patch will also address many other known issues, such as fixing some portrait animations and audio bugs, implementing some UI fixes, and more. Please keep an eye out for the patch notes for a detailed list of all the bug fixes. So, taking a break from that.
Yeah, I couldn't do Classic Mode. When I tried going to the settings, I tried clicking it, it wouldn't do anything for me.
Huh.
So I wonder if they like froze that or something. That was on Sunday night.
Yeah,
so
I don't know.
Do you want me to read?
Yeah, in just a minute. But I want to make a comment about the colors. I was actually watching Grubby play some games, and that color issue is a problem. Holy crap. Basically, the enemy units will sometimes flip to your color. So it'll look... You won't be able to differentiate between the two. And that's a huge problem that they're fixing.
Good.
Yeah.
That's not good.
But thankfully, it's being fixed. So...
All right,
go ahead.
All right. So another area of concern we're seeing is regarding online features such as leaderboards and clans, which applies to all Warcraft 3 players, including those who haven't purchased Reforged. At BlizzCon, we talked a lot about how the team is actively working on standing up the back end to ensure a smooth transition to this new MMR system, which, like we did with StarCraft Remastered. As with Remastered, these other features will be included in a major patch for Reforged, which will also address the issue for players of the original game. We'll share release plans as work progresses in the coming weeks. Please be assured that the team is hard at work in standing these features up. There are some individual concerns we've seen that we're not currently planned to address that we wanted to give the community a heads up. As a version 1.30 of the original game, we saw a very low usage of tournaments and the end of the Reign of Chaos rule set. So we removed both in mid-2019 in version 1.31, eliminating the maintenance of underused elements, as has helped us streamline our overall support for the game and focus on areas impacting the most players. That said, we do anticipate the players who prefer to Reign of Chaos will find custom games with similar rule sets, which we hope will satisfy that concern.
And related to that, as we talked about last year at BlizzCon, we do not want the in-game cutscenes to steer too far from the original game. We went a little deeper into the thought process behind that at the show, but the main takeaway is that the campaigns tell one of the classic stories in Warcraft history, and we want to preserve the true spirit of Warcraft 3 and allow players to relive these unforgettable moments as they were, albeit rebuilt with new animations and higher fidelity art. We know this update doesn't address all questions, but we're committed to the development of and support of this game. We hope you'll keep an eye out for this week's patch and future updates, and let us know what you think as we continue fine-tuning things. Until then, thank you always for your support and passion for Warcraft 3. We appreciate all your feedback, and we'll continue to keep the Warcraft 3 community updated on everything we're working on.
Sincerely, the Warcraft 3 Reforged team.
Yep.
Can we go back to that link really quick?
Uh-huh.
And there are 116 likes or hearts.
Yep.
Yeah. That was a really good letter covering a lot of stuff. And I especially like the fact where they were like, there's other things we're not going to talk about now. So like, chill out, like pump the brakes.
Yeah. I mean, my initial thoughts on Twitter still stand though, that this game, I think, was released too early, unfortunately, which is a little strange to say about a remaster of a 15-year-old game.
Well, I think it's hard because we're so used to Blizzard saying we'll release it when it's ready. And so we have this high standard of what ready is. And with the new acquisition or collaboration or whatever, Activision being part of Blizzard, I think that term, it's ready when it's ready, is kind of blurred. It's ready enough.
I think people forget how long Activision Blizzard have been together. It's been over a decade. But yes, I do agree with you that that the culture is shifting at Blizzard. And from the outside, it doesn't look positive. Based on this and based on 8.3's release in World of Warcraft. Because both those seem to have come out a little early.
And then we're not getting a 3.5.
In World of Warcraft.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't want to keep... What was that? That Courage the Coward... The dog? The puppet dog?
Yes.
I don't want to keep, like, pooping on you type of thing with Blizzard. Because... I don't know how to... I don't want to, like... I don't want to join the fan base and be like, oh, they didn't do it, I'm going to be mad and everything. Like, I understand there's a whole lot of stuff we have no... We're not privy to at all in terms of these games being released. I think anyone as a perfectionist would want to wait forever and a day to get every cinematic right and then make that movie great and then those voices great and then this great. But then at that point, it's going to be like 10, 15 years until everything's perfect. And so it's like there has to be some type of degree of like forgiveness in that or leeway, I guess. And once again, like, I didn't play Warcraft 3. I don't have that heartfelt, like, oh, I love this one thing and now it's gone. Now I'm mad. There was a whole lot of things. And that was one game they worked on for their entire team. Mm-hmm. Now they have how many other games they're working on?
A lot.
So it's like they're even more spread out thin. And it's like, yeah, well, having a lot of this new tech is making it a lot easier to make it easier. The workload is still severe. And with the higher quality, it becomes more work. So it's kind of like, yeah, there's a give and take, I feel, that we're not allowed to hear.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I totally agree. And before we go away from Warcraft 3, I wanted to just let everyone know, apparently refunds are being automated now. So if you are unhappy with Warcraft 3 and 4, you can get a refund through the Battle.net website. And it seems to be an automated process right now. So you don't have to wait for... customer support to process it.
And I did have a moment of thought of after buying it, hearing that there's no Jaina or Sylvanas storyline, because that was something they were going to add.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, that is the coolest shiz ever. Like, I want that. And I even thought, like, do I want to play this game? Like, I know the story. I got it. Do I want to play this entire game? Am I disappointed? Absolutely. I hope maybe it's an expansion that they could throw in there later on. Like, even with WoW Classic, they're adding expansions to everything. Possibly. So, like, maybe they'll do that with Warcraft 3. I hope. Like,
I really would like to see that. I don't know.
StarCraft has, like, two of them, right?
StarCraft 2, yeah. They have DLC.
So I'm hoping maybe Warcraft 3, they'll, like, have some DLC of Jaina and some DLC of Sylvanas. Like, those are conversations we don't have yet. And that's where I'm kind of like, I hope they'll put those in. So I have hope. I liked the game. I like the game. No past tense.
Yeah.
Am I going to be fervently playing it every day? No. But, you know, because everything takes like 20 minutes. Like, every mission took me like 15 to 20 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of long. We'll see.
Yeah. And I'll pick it up when it's on sale.
Okay.
I'll wait.
I had some credits to spend.
Yeah, you had some credits to spend, so it made it a little bit easier.
Mm-hmm.
But shifting to a little bit more positive news, Overwatch... actually had some pretty big news this week with a developer update that had been quite teased by members of the community, not necessarily inside Blizzard. I guess they talked about this with a lot of players and talent and stuff like that, but we did finally get a pretty big developer update, and we're getting a couple new things coming to the game fairly soon. One of the ones I'm most excited about is the experimental card. So, you know how on the game you have quick play, arcade, all that stuff?
Mm-hmm.
This will be a new mode
mm-hmm.
to let them try out balance changes on live servers versus the PTR. And the nice thing is this is going to allow players to continue receiving account progress and rewards while testing the new changes which means a lot more people will be testing these changes and they'll get a lot better data. And this also allows console players finally to be able to access this system, which is awesome because they've never had access to the PTR.
Yeah, and it's nice because it will not make me feel like I'm wasting time. Like, why would I play a PTR game that I'm not going to get credit for, especially when I really want to get mm-hmm. those wins to get that gold whatever for this one character. And it was also nice. Like, did they do a post on this, or was it just the video?
It was just the video.
So, what's his name?
Jeff Kaplan.
I was about to say, I think it's Kaplan. Kaplan did a video, like, on Monday or so, no, Tuesday last week or something. I think
it was Tuesday or Wednesday last week,
and so it's a YouTube video on their channel, and he talked through a lot of these, which was kind of nice, because it was a discussion that he likes to do, and he made it seem a lot more accessible than just reading through a bunch of stuff and be like, psh, I don't care.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. I'm excited for that. But I think what most people are excited and hesitant and worried about are hero pools. So there's been this kind of outcry from the community for hero bans to come to Overwatch. And I've always thought hero bans would be a terrible idea for the game just because specifically tank and healer roles just do not have enough heroes there to support hero bans without really negatively affecting the game. So we've kind of come to a compromise with hero pools. This will be coming to competitive, starting with Season 21, which is not that far away, where there will be a rotating roster of banned heroes every week, handpicked by the development team, so it's not completely random. Mm-hmm. I believe it's going to be 4 total heroes banned. That's based off of how Overwatch League is going to be implementing this. But 1 tank, 2 DPS, and 1 support will be banned each week. I think the idea around this is to help diversify the meta and change things up so things don't get so stale. There was obviously the problem last year for most of the year where the GOATS meta was a huge thing. Everyone was playing it. Everyone was watching it in Overwatch League. I remember watching Overwatch League with you, and you were just like, what is this? Why is this terrible?
Boring.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the community is negative against it, but I do appreciate Sure4, Toronto Defiant player, former LA Gladiators.
The only one I remember.
The only one you remember. He tweeted about this, and I love this. This change won't change who the best teams are. The good teams are the ones with confidence in their play and trust between their teammates. Adaptable players and teams that are able to talk things out together will still be strong. It will only affect the quote-unquote our meta teams.
Aww.
So I'm excited for it because, especially for the general population, I don't think it'll have that negative of an impact.
And
it's only going to be competitive. You don't play competitive, so exactly. You're not going to see this at all.
Yeah, I'm good.
But I think it'll be good just to encourage people to diversify and not be one-trick players, one-trick heroes anymore.
Or also, like, so strict on how they play.
Yeah.
Because the Blizzard has always said they want you to play, mm-hmm. not to, like, play to a meta.
Yeah, for sure. But hero pools, like I mentioned, are also coming to Overwatch League. That will be starting on March 7th, so it's not starting this weekend, but it will be coming. Each week will be different, and I love this for Overwatch League. The bans will be determined by the highest use rate of a hero in that role. For example, if Reinhardt is used most in that first week, week 2 he would not be available.
Mm-hmm.
So, and also there will be a rule that no heroes will be unavailable for 2 consecutive weeks.
Okay.
So
you're not going to miss your characters for so long. Yeah.
And it'll be 1 tank, 2 DPS, and 1 support. But other kind of small quality of life things that they talked about, or Jeff talked about in the video.
Yeah.
They admitted to being slow to try changes and...
For balancing changes.
Yeah. And changes a few weeks from now, looking to be a lot more aggressive in changes and moves to the meta. Just so it doesn't get as stale. Like we saw in the GOATS meta.
I think even that's where the experimental card is kind of a nice way for them to do that, is that it's going to give them so much data of if they do this change for this one character in the experimental section, is this win rate going to go up? Is it going to go down? So having that test realm, basically, is going to allow them to see if it works really well or not relatively quickly with a positive feedback for players, because then they get the perks of their hero progression.
Yeah.
So I really liked that part of it too. And they also talked about how there was another question. They had like two main topics. Oh, the concept of the meta. You already covered that.
And they also mentioned in passing new anti-cheat measures coming. Really vague on details, which is good. They're always... You want to be vague on that stuff, just so that people don't know what you're doing. Cheaters don't know what you're doing to combat that. But I guess they'll have more details coming in a blog post soon.
How does one cheat in Overwatch?
Either through map hacks or aimbots.
What's an aimbot?
Soldier 76 ult, but like without his ult.
Okay.
Because you know how he just automatically hits everyone?
Yeah.
It's like that. So it aims for you.
Oh.
It's a program that does that for you.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm like, how does one do this?
It's kind of obvious when people are running them, though.
Oh, is it? Okay. Yeah. I can just blame it on hacking. No, it's... Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Hacks.
Some really cool quality of life changes. You're going to be able to pin and share replays now. Pinning in the sense you'll be able to save a replay for a game that you...
And highlight it.
...really want to analyze or... feel like you could learn a lot from. Career profile is going to be updated, and the biggest change that everyone is going to be very, 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 very happy about, the ability to sort player icons. Finally. It's only been, what, 4 or 5 years?
I was so worried about that, Jimmy. You have no idea how that stressed me out. Not at all.
Do you know how much of a pain in the butt
it is
to select a player icon?
It's no clue. I picked Mercy's breast cancer one, and I'm good to go for years.
There you go. You're all set.
Yep.
But that's not the only thing going on in the world of Overwatch. For those of you into watching Overwatch.
Overwatch League had some stuff happen.
Competitive Overwatch. Overwatch League starts this weekend. February 8th and 9th. In both Dallas and New York. So two homestands this weekend.
It's going to be early for us, isn't it?
10 a.m. is when the games start, Pacific.
Pacific. Oh, okay. It's not too terrible.
So I'm going to break this down
good luck.
For those of you who either aren't familiar with Overwatch League in general or are curious about the changes coming in 2020, because there are a pretty good amount of changes. I'm excited for probably all these. I think they're all... really good changes to the league and will help with viewership and with just being able to understand and follow the game a bit better. Because I know you've been like, oh, there's so many games. I want to
hear how you break this down.
Okay. I have it all written down so you can see how even I'm now it blows it down. My mind. So this isn't any different. There are two conferences, the Atlantic and Pacific, with 10 teams in each. But they're also breaking it down.
Pay attention. oh my god, you did a pun.
Into two divisions for each conference. So it's broken down like this. The Atlantic North will have Boston Uprising, London Spitfire, New York Excelsior, Paris Eternal, and Toronto Defiant. And as I go through these, I'm going to predict who is going to be the best team out of those divisions. NYXL for the third season running is going to be a very strong team. No question about that. I think they run away with that conference.
I feel like we should or division.
Someone will track it. Atlantic South will have the Atlanta Reign, Florida Mayhem, Houston Outlaws, Philadelphia Fusion, and Washington Justice. This is probably the hardest division to predict, but I want to say the Florida Mayhem because their colors are amazing. And I am super excited for... this division, because it's going to be pretty wild. Pacific East, though, Chengdu Hunters, Guangzhou Charge, Hangzhou Spark, Shanghai Dragons, and the Seoul Dynasty. I am going to predict the Shanghai Dragons take this division. They've made some really good offseason changes, and they will definitely be the team to watch in this division.
Okay, I have to ask, which team has the female player?
The Shanghai Dragons. And they still have Giguri on that team.
Good. I'm like, is she still there?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yeah. And in the Pacific West, we have probably the most stacked division in the entire Overwatch League. We have the Dallas Fuel, the LA Valiant, the LA Gladiators, San Francisco Shock, and Vancouver Titans.
Gladiator's going to win.
You say that.
100%.
But it's going to be San Francisco Shock.
No.
It is. They've made one change to their lineup.
Give me your SoCal card. I know.
But they are the best team. They are the best team in the Overwatch League. No. They really didn't lose much in the offseason. And they look strong.
Moving on.
And they have the MVP from last season. Moving on. More details about Overwatch League for this weekend. We're not going to have to watch as many days, thankfully. Saturday and Sunday matches only for this season.
Why did they do that?
No Wednesday, Thursday, Friday matches.
Why did they do that?
Just to simplify it and make it a little bit easier for people to follow.
Okay.
So the other thing you will want to be aware of, though, is start times will be local to that market of the home teams. So when there are games in Asia, they will be at odd times for us.
Oh, that's going to hurt.
For us on the West Coast.
Are there VODs we can watch this?
Yes.
Okay, thank God.
Because they'll be on YouTube.
Oh, YouTube gaming.
Yep, YouTube will have that.
It's like they planned it.
Teams will play 28 matches throughout the season, and then... at midseason, there will be once again a fan-selected all-star event.
Those are fun.
Those are super fun. If you didn't watch them last season, definitely check it out because they do some really goofy stuff. Like everyone plays McCree.
Yep.
Which is super funny to see.
My favorite was when they all did. There was a 1v1 Widowmaker.
1v1 Widowmaker 1v1s were super awesome.
Stressful.
It's so stressful.
Like, even your sister who doesn't even know what should happen, she was stressed out.
So the best part about that was you could only kill with headshots.
Yes.
Body shots wouldn't do damage.
It was so good.
Yeah.
And they were long. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They were great. So, yeah, there is that. And my absolute favorite change to Overwatch in 2020, all matches are best of three.
Thank God. Thank you.
So no more 3-0s, playing a fourth map that kind of doesn't matter. Where teams are like phoning it in. Like, seriously, teams phoned it in for that fourth map so many times.
Thank goodness, because they were long.
Yeah, they were long.
And I felt bad because, like, you wanted to be there, like, holding in for everything, but it was just so long.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Games will start on a control map, which is really good.
What's a control map?
Control is where you have that point.
Oh, the little square?
Yep,
you little have to, like, square. Sit in the square?
Yeah. So instead of kind of perceived advantage of a payload map where someone starts on attack first, this makes it just more even to start the games off.
So you actually got to stay on the payload, supposedly?
Always stay on the payload. But yeah, the goal is to have... hybrid escort and assault maps played in equal proportions. There will be 14 maps available per. I don't know. They're not stages anymore, but the windows. Time frame. Something like that. Yeah.
Thesaurus.
Exactly.
Okay.
Because if there are ties, which could happen if it goes 2-2.
Okay.
It will end on a control point map. But all of the control point maps will be available for selection. So that makes it really exciting. Because then teams have to play a little bit more. And...
Oh, you lost your closed captions there.
Yeah, we lost the closed captions. Oh, no. So hold on.
Is that just our show notes?
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyways. Yeah.
Oh, so the control map. So they get to pick their control map?
Yeah. I don't know how that will end up.
Like flip a coin, maybe?
Maybe.
Okay.
But also there's going to be a mid-season tournament because there's no stage playoffs this time, which will feature the top four teams, two conference leaders, and two wild cards with seeding based on the results through week 10.
Oh, this is complicated. We're almost done.
We're getting there.
Okay.
Week one coming up, we have 8 games on the docket. We will have on Saturday Toronto versus Paris, London versus New York, LA Gladiators versus Vancouver. And LA Valiant versus Dallas. Day 2, Sunday, London versus Paris, Boston versus New York, LA Valiant versus Vancouver, and San Francisco versus Dallas. So, yeah, a good docket of games to look forward to this week.
Weekend.
I'm excited because now there won't be games played while I'm at work.
But then weren't you sad? Like, you were talking about how you wanted this to come back because you wanted stuff to watch. You were like, it's so nice to come home from work and throw on Overwatch.
It is.
And now you're not going to have that.
Yeah. But now I have my weekends all set.
And I have my weekends away from you.
Exactly.
So that works for everybody. Okay.
But in more serious news, we all know about the coronavirus that is going around.
We talked about this.
Because all games in China have been rescheduled.
Oh, yeah, that sucks.
Yeah. So people were definitely questioning what was going on, but pretty much, I don't know of any esports events that have, like, not rescheduled. Like, League has suspended all their China stuff for now. And Overwatch League is moving their games or rescheduling. Mm-hmm. I don't know the details on what exactly is happening there yet. They haven't announced that. But also, all the teams based in China have moved their operations outside of China.
Of course.
So,
go get your flu shot.
It's a very serious thing.
Go get your flu shot.
Yeah, get your flu shot if you haven't yet.
If you're in the U.S., go get your flu shot. Yeah. Right. Sorry. It's a very important PSA.
We talked about this last week, but jerseys did go up on the Overwatch League store. $90. You won the prediction on how much they would cost. Right.
I guess 70 and above.
So there are home and away variants. The away variants have, they're just black.
Oh, they're black?
Completely
they're
black, yeah.
Good. White's kind of
me. Yeah. Free shipping right now. And if you order by February 29th, you get $20 fan cash, which is Fnatic's gift card thing.
From the Blizzard Gear Store. No, not from Blizzard Overwatch Gear League. Store. What's the website?
Overwatch League. Gear.overwatchleague.com, I think.
Okay.
And it ships by March 31st. Why are these not available day one? Come on, guys. Like, that's 2 months into
because
the season.
Because we didn't tweet them
2 months
weeks
into
ago
the season.
To tell them
we don't
that it's
get,
coming up.
We don't get those... those jerseys.
You gotta
anyways,
wear your last year's jersey.
I will.
Even though it's different colors.
Even though it's the wrong color. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I do have to mention. Oh, gosh. I have to mention. I know I've been ragging on the LA Valiant for this color change.
Just a bit.
A lot.
Just a bit.
A lot.
A lot.
And for their changes with rosters and just the way they're running
things.
That's
reasonable. That's a concern in general. But the color.
But the pictures came out for the LA Valiant jersey, and I want one so bad.
And it
looks so good.
It's like a nice, like, dark, like kind of like your chair almost, I think.
I think it's a little bit lighter than this.
Yeah, it's like a bright, but like kind of solid jewel tone, like royal blue.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh,
blue.
Yeah.
And the gold looks really nice. Mm-hmm. I'm so glad you like the blue. Because you were really upset about it.
Oh, yeah. So I'll definitely get one because they're gorgeous.
Yes, you like and tried to figure out which one.
Go check
you
out. Yeah, we actually had talked with Heather, and we were discussing like which jersey would look best on me.
Yeah,
and we unfortunately, or fortunately, however you want to look at it, came upon the Valiant jersey.
Well, we were like so neutral about it. Like I'm just they would all look good on you. And then I was like, Mom, I'd ask my mom, like, Mom, which would look good on Jimmy? And she's like, the blue one. I'm like, okay. That's what you're going to get. And especially, it'll go with the blue hair.
Yeah.
So.
And I'll re-dye this at some point.
Exactly. It's so funny. Okay.
Okay. Moving on, because we still have a lot of news to get from.
Oh my gosh,
World of Warcraft. News has settled down a little bit. But the race for World First is on. And as far as I know, I didn't check right before the show. But I believe we're still at of 11 and 12 for both Method and Limit. Limit discovered that there is a secret phase on Nazoth that was not in the heroic version that has you fighting in the Chamber of Azeroth along with Mother and Magni.
What?
Yeah.
Dun, dun,
so you
dun
can check out their stream to check that out. But also, what's probably the most fascinating about this is Limit got a glitched attempt down to 30%. Blizzard saw this and despawned Nazoth to fix it. Which resulted in Nazoth despawning for everyone in North American realms, no matter what difficulty they were playing
on. Is that the reset of across all servers?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I'm Googling this right now.
So, yeah, it was a fun night for raiders, I'm sure.
I don't see anything other than just that reset.
Yeah.
So I think it's still going.
Okay. Yeah.
I need to watch it. I never watched
these. No, it's such a fun event to watch. Like, I am very happy that Method decided to start doing this.
Well, especially when you have the sponsorships and everything.
It helps
a lot.
No.
Because then you don't have to worry about so much of, like, handling it. Handling it.
And I have to shout out Derry. Congratulations on you guys raising. I think it was $100,000 you guys hit for charity. Okay, so I introduced you to her at BlizzCon, but she's majorly involved at Method. She works for Method full time.
Okay, great.
She's a great
person. And they did a charity thing?
They do charity.
Oh, cool.
Donations every
Race for World First.
They had hit their goal for this year, which I think was 25,000. So they bumped up the goal to 40,000.
You got it. Oh, wow.
And I think it's around 27,000 right now. So.
I think it's good. That's awesome. Yeah.
No, that's awesome. So there's that
limit. Is there any perk to donate? Like, is it like
get,
a raffle?
You get your name read out on stream.
Oh, I want a raffle.
I don't know if there are raffles.
Let me buy like a raffle
not.
Ticket for like $2 and I'll happily jump on that.
For sure. but alongside that, in the game, Dark Moon Fair started this week, and that has the new edition of the arcade, which we talked about a couple episodes ago, where you get to replay some of these
wonderful games.
The Shell game, Totemic Matrix, Barrels of Fun, which actually is one of my favorites from Legion. Remember, you'd go do the world quest where it'd be like, oh, find the one with the ball in it.
Oh, and it would shuffle it.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the New York Street game.
And an all-new deadly version of Minesweeper.
What?
Yeah. So definitely check that out. This week it is live on All Realms, so
get in on that.
Go check that out. It's awesome.
Do they still have the roller coaster?
Yeah. I need to get on that too. No, roller coaster is awesome.
I legit need to get in on that.
Well, you get on it, and then you get your 10% XP buff.
Oh, I need to do
I think
that.
It's 10%. Anyways,
so far behind.
Whatever. It's some value. but also this week starting is Love is in the Air, February 8th. So go get your mount and achievements.
Is that the one with the rocket, the pink rocket ship with like the leopard seat cover?
Hopefully I'll get it this year.
Oh, that's so corny. Don't get it.
Okay.
I will not ride with you on that.
Yeah.
Oh, this is a fun one.
Moving on though. Heroes of the Storm. Didn't have a whole lot of news, but we had a very cool podcast. You were able to listen to a bit of this before the show.
So there's a podcast called The Listen Game Podcast on episode 5 with what's the guy's name?
Kevin.
Cloaken?
Cloaken Johnson.
I know his face. Where is he from?
He used to work at Blizzard.
Okay, that makes a lot more sense. Okay.
Yeah.
So he's now doing a podcast called The Listen Game Podcast. And the podcast is basically focusing on game developers and how they develop games. Because it's a lot more complex than we know as fans. So he basically like wants to have a sit down, like, hey, you're a developer, let's talk shop, basically. And they had this really cool guy that we kind of know, we're kind of fans of, adding Kyle Dates. And he's a developer on Heroes. And so it was like an hour and a half podcast.
He's like lead developer on Heroes now,
he's kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
He's kind of a big deal with great hair.
Yeah.
So
a lot of your favorite heroes have been designed by Kyle.
Kel'Thuzad
was probably the like biggest one. Deathwing, yeah.
And I forgot the other.
A lot of the heroes he's touched.
He's touched them all.
Yeah. So I actually didn't get to listen to this yet, unfortunately. So why don't you tell me about what was discussed?
I did, because I typed these notes. Hopefully you changed some of my notes. Okay. So
I didn't touch anything.
I had things bolded. Where are the bold ones?
Okay, never mind.
You did change things.
I didn't. No, I didn't.
Okay, so... it's late. So it's like an hour and a half podcast, I think, right? Yeah, it's like an hour and a half.
Yeah, it's about an hour and a half.
So I listened to parts of it. I wasn't able to sit through the entire thing because we had to get our notes set up. But the beginning of the podcast is basically Kyle's history starting at Blizzard. And hi, Lashes. Working at Blizzard as a, correct me if I'm wrong, a tester for the StarCraft II editor. For in-house and hopefully the future consumption of it. Because I guess the in-house editor was going to be used in StarCraft II. Is that a thing?
Yeah. So the editor is the same tool that the Blizzard developers used to build the game as you could to make your own maps and stuff.
So Kyle worked a lot on like testing that and trying to break it and fixing it. And then they talked further about his career in other Blizzard projects to eventually the end result was now developer senior game designer for Heroes of the Storm.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a few really great quotes when this discussion, because it's a lot of, you know, people talking shop here in this developing world. And Kyle had said, he asked him a question of like, what does it take to be a good designer in games? And Kyle just kind of, and I took a quote, becoming a good designer is a lot of trial and error, meaning that one game is different from another game. So if you go from Heroes of the Storm and then you go to Hearthstone, very different games. Design, it's going to be a lot different. And the skill set that he really recommended was having developers needing the ability to learn and adapt quickly. You're going to, if you have the skills to do something, you can learn XYZ with that later on. But you have to learn and adapt it quickly because it's always going to be changing. You won't have a lot of time to make everything perfect. And then they talked a little bit about the balancing and developing of StarCraft 2 on the foundations of StarCraft 1. A lot of this stuff went over my head because I didn't play StarCraft 1 and barely play StarCraft 2. But if you're a big fan of that franchises, definitely jump in there because they did talk a lot about the competitive modes and stuff like that. And then, let's see, Kevin asked a question about how the general public always ask or complain, well, how do the developers not know X, Y, and Z happened in the game and this happened? How could they just not know it? They've developed a game like blah, 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 Q, Q, Q.
That's what they sound like.
Q, Q, Q. And there was, Kyle had a really good response. It was a very, I don't want to say long-winded, but a very good explanation about
detailed.
How, detailed. There we go. Thank you. A detailed response about how the developers, even if they play test it for like multiple hours a day, multiple times a week for multiple months, they're only going to have a couple hundred hours at best play testing a game. But as soon as it goes public, there are thousands of hours, almost within a day or two, of data that they collect that will then show, hey, this thing broke or this thing didn't work. Yeah. Which makes a ton of sense. So when you say, oh, the developers, well, they worked on this game for 2-3 years. Why can't they catch it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, because that's thousands of hours that you guys have discovered that they now know it.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought that was a really cool discussion because it kind of, and that's why I kind of feel like we should pump the brakes a bit on the Warcraft 3. We don't know what we don't know because thousands of people just jumped on it and now we know. And it's hard to replicate like a reality of public diving into a game.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Let's see. The other part I wrote down. They said there's also a reason why they also don't go crazy with the Nerf bat on some of the games. Because they also want to see how will things play out. Okay, this one part or this aspect of the game is broken. And they also dived, I think, a little bit into Heroes of the Storm with this one.
Yeah, I mean, this was when I was really digging in as a Heroes creator. Mm-hmm. I would always stress when new heroes were coming out every 3 to 4 weeks. People would complain, oh, this hero is broken. Overpowered or broken.
Yeah.
And I'm like, give it a couple weeks at least because people are all learning how to play against this new hero. And of course, people are going to like not be able to play particularly well against this hero because it's brand new.
Yeah.
I mean, there are exceptions to the rule, like Kael'thas, who are a little overtuned to start things off. But even then, it's hard to tell specifically if something is overtuned or people just need to put in those hours to figure out what are the heroes to play against that, what strategies can you use to counter that hero. And that really plays into this why developers hold that Nerf bat for so long.
And also that goes to the idea that they always, the devs don't ever not do anything. They just don't sit there and stare at the screen and ignore something. Like even with the blue post on the Warcraft 3, they were hearing it, they were reading about it, but they're going to take their time to have a proper answer or discussion or change implemented later. So it was kind of a nice discussion about why they kind of hold or reserved in what they say, which is good because God forbid you tweet all over the place and blue posts everywhere. It gets really confusing. So I kind of like having the time taken response, the timed response for that.
Oh, yeah.
And then, let's see, it talked about Kyle's career moving towards HOTS. And, oh, he really did. And then they did a little, like, a long discussion about the stresses of implementing heroes in other games into the HOTS game. Because there's some heroes that are super loved, like Deckard Cain. Deckard Cain, super loved and adored, but he doesn't do anything. And so they're like, how do we make this character amazing and lovable?
Like, how do you make this character and then implement a kit that would feel like something that Deckard Cain would actually do if he were in this world of the Nexus? And I always felt like that was the most difficult part of Heroes of the Storm for from coming from a developer side, is you have these heroes, especially something like Kael'thas'ad, for example.
Yeah.
he's this giant raid boss in World of Warcraft. You know how he functions. You know what his abilities are. And as a developer, you don't want to just copy and paste that into the Heroes of the Storm. You want to give him that unique flair for a MOBA.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Kael'thas is a great example of writing that balance of being familiar enough to satisfy people's preconceptions of that hero,
mm-hmm.
and also bringing something new to the table and something that fits into the game.
To a new game, especially. Mm-hmm. Kael'thas and WoW is not Kael'thas and Heroes of the Storm.
And I think that was also probably one of my favorite things of when they announced Orphea at BlizzCon 2018.
That's the barbarian.
That's chick, right? Yes.
Yeah.
Was that I was like, oh, now the developers get their own free reign to do whatever mm-hmm. they want.
Yeah.
To fit into here.
Oh, what's the one with the girl? The young Kira? Girl? Yeah. She's great.
Yeah.
I love her. And I want to know more about that world created too.
For sure.
And then, you know, they slowly went into that discussion, and then as they were wrapping it up, they talked about other video games. The ones that I picked up on, because I know these ones, are Pokemon Go
mm-hmm.
and Sword and Shield. And it was really neat because since they both worked in the gaming industry, they were actually giving perspectives about like, oh, Pokemon Go has this really great localization. Let's talk about this and let's talk about that idea. And I would love to do this type of idea with this. And they were literally coming up with like development ideas about a game that's already so established.
Oh, yeah.
As fans. And so that mm-hmm. was really fun. And they talked about Sword and Shield. And it was a lot of fun to hear their banter back and forth because
mm-hmm.
they're professionals, also fanboying or fangirling, whatever. About games that they liked so much. And there was a few others they mentioned, but I don't know what they were.
Yeah. No, that's fine.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely check out The Listening Game
by
Kevin Cloak and Johnson. Actually, their first episode, and I still haven't listened to this. I'm sorry, but I want to. But he brought on Lana, who was an animator for Heroes. She's working now at Riot. I don't know what she's working on over there, because they have like 5 billion games in production now. But definitely, if you are one of those people like me and Heather who like to kind of dig into the behind the scenes of how they do this stuff.
Yeah.
It is awesome. So yeah, definitely check that out.
And there's great nuggets of wisdom in there too, mm-hmm. I think, especially.
Oh, yeah.
Like learning what's he asks a lot of the similar questions, like what's a good developer? What do you recommend?
And I think it's stuff that can be
applicable
to just other things in life.
Yeah.
In general.
Like learning to adapt quickly. That's a life
skill. No, that's a huge deal.
Yeah.
But moving on, speaking of development, Diablo 3 is still being developed for as much as people think it's a dead game. The blog did come out previewing next season and the PTR, which starts on February 6th, just a couple days from when we're recording this. The highlights are infernal machines and organs are now subject to vacuum pickup. That's just a nice quality of life change. That means, like, you know how the gold gets automatically picked up?
Yes.
That's the infernal machines and organs get picked up automatically now.
Organs, like an intestine and a heart?
Yes. So when you...
so it's like a Dyson vacuum cleaner going through or something?
Yes, yes. So there's crafting materials to do things.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It's been a while.
Yeah.
That's good. It's useful.
Also, crafting plans from bounty caches are now guaranteed to drop unless all plans have been learned. Nice quality of life thing. And probably what people are most excited for, most looking forward to, the new season theme has been added for season 20, the season of Forbidden Archives. This is probably their most bold season theme yet. For the duration of season 20, all slots in Kanai's Cube will be able to select legendary powers from weapon, armor, or jewelry. So any combination of those you'll be able to do, which is absolutely crazy. And I'm sure we'll get some pretty wild builds once people get a hold of the PTR. Because for those of you not familiar, before you could only select one of each type. So one weapon power, one armor power, one jewelry power.
Yeah.
But say there's 3 weapon ones that would really help your build out. You can select all 3 of those now in any kind of combination you want.
Some more customization.
So way more customization available. And potentially
because there was not enough customization.
And potentially stuff that's going to break the game, which is going to be fun. I'm excited for it.
That's weird.
Also big is 3 new class sets. Blizzard did talk about this at, I think, either at BlizzCon or before BlizzCon, that they were going to start rolling out class sets new class sets just to give more stuff for people to do.
To collect.
Barbarian has the Horde of 90 Savages, which is a frenzy-based build. Witch Doctor has this... Blizzard, why do you name it like this? This is going to be... I'm going to butcher this so bad. Mundungu's Regalia.
Don't yell it.
For Spirit Barrage on the Witch Doctor. And the one I'm looking forward to, because I'm a Wizard player, Wizard has the Typhoon's Veil, which is a Hydra-focused set. I am super excited about that, because...
Like Hail Hydras? Hydra?
No, well, yeah, three-headed Hydras. You've played Wizard before.
Yeah.
You remember this.
Yeah.
And also a change to Mantle of Channeling. I am sad about this as a Wizard player, but it now procs after 1 second of casting instead of instantly procking. So...
Is there armor? Yeah. Is there new armor looks? I'm trying to find them. Yes, I can't find
them. They haven't released the images of them yet.
Well, that's what I want.
I know. So we don't know what they look like. We know what they do.
I want to know if it looks
We know
cool.
their names and their classes.
Oh, wait. Okay, side tangent really quick. I took a screenshot of this. So the halftime show for Super Bowl yesterday, J-Lo did a costume change in a very skimpy black and... tight vested, like almost like bathing suit looking thing.
Mm-hmm.
Someone on the WoW Facebook groups that I'm on, I don't know if I have a screenshot of it or not. Basically, they made the joke that looks like the slutty mage armor set.
It kind of does. Okay. Yeah, it does.
So, yeah, there's a comparison of like the mage armor, but they're basically wearing a bikini with a vest, and then J-Lo wearing a similar thing with high boots.
Yeah, for sure.
So that reminded me, I'm like, I just want to know what the armor looks like. Show me the armor.
Yeah, we'll see it eventually. Hearthstone didn't have a whole lot of necessary news this week, but we did have our first Hearthstone Masters of the Year on YouTube. And that was our first big test of YouTube as a new platform. And it was okay once you found it.
What?
So I found it kind of hard to find the stream. And even Brian Kibler tweeted about this because he actually visited LCS. And while waiting in line, he wanted to watch Hearthstone.
What's LCS?
League Championship Series. So he's a big League of Legends fan.
Oh, okay.
And since he's local, he does go to that. But he tweeted about it and how he couldn't find it even when he went to the Hearthstone official YouTube page and how hard it was to find exactly where it was. I mean, he scrolled through videos, and this is my concern with moving everything to YouTube, is the discoverability of these streams.
Yeah.
Like, they have to be easy. I know I said this last week. It has to be, like, 2 clicks for me to be able to find it.
See,
because if I get annoyed, a hardcore fan of this...
looking for it.
What do you think a casual fan is going to do?
I'm just going to give up.
And I will say, the numbers were not good on YouTube.
See, and there's not even, like, an email of it. Like, looking at Hearthstone on my emails? Nothing.
There was maybe a peak of 6,000 when I was watching. Compared to, like, Twitch would usually get between 20 and 30, I feel like.
See, the only email I have about Hearthstone was on January 17th about the new cards. Like, mm-hmm. And that's where we've talked about this before, even just getting our notes together. We know we're looking for something new, and it's hard to find it on the launcher. It's hard to find it on their websites. Their Twitter accounts aren't even posting it. The YouTube channels aren't even posting it. Like, It's almost like they should have a PR team to handle this, and it's really frustrating because... we want it to be streamlined for people to find it. Like, if I were to tell my students, hey, I'm going to watch Hearthstone over the weekend, if you're a nerd and like it too, you should go look it up on YouTube, they're not going to find it.
I will tell you, there is a third-party kind of solution if you're looking for esports tournaments. Juked.gg, J-U-K-E-D.
Oh, wow.
You're
going, like, and extra nerdy here.
That basically is a giant aggregate of everything esports and a giant calendar of everything going on. So if you're a big esports fan, definitely check that page out.
What was it again?
Juked.gg. J-U-K-E-D.
J-U-K-E-D.
Juked. Like you juke somebody.
I never heard that word before.
You've never heard the word juked?
Never heard that word before, no.
We're going to have to talk about it.
Juke box, I've heard.
We're going to have to talk after this.
Juked.gg.
.gg.
That's funny.
Also, a little bit of a... It's there.
There we go. You're welcome.
Oh my gosh.
You're welcome.
But yeah, fascinating side tangent though on the .gg name for websites.
Oh, let's go fish it again. Every time we say it, we got fish it. How about that?
Oh my gosh. No. I hope the mic picked it up. Oh, I think it did. But okay. Anyways, Evil Geniuses was kind of the first organization to start the dot websites. And pretty much every esports organization has used some variation of it going forward. So
that makes sense.
That's
well, even like
that's my little history lesson on
esports. Are hearing using that phrase? So yeah.
Yeah.
Wasn't there a video talking about esports and like the whole GG thing that we watched like a few weeks ago on YouTube?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Score Esports puts out really good content, by the way. Check that out. But Hearthstone Masters did happen, and it was a really fun event. There was a lot of good varieties of decks, and actually, players were using cards that had just been released.
On January 17th, because of my email.
No, just last week. From the single-player campaigns, which we talked about a little bit last week.
That quickly?
Yeah.
Isn't that like a concern for like the meta?
I think there is, but I think Blizzard's kind of just letting it play itself out, which I'm excited for. I think it makes it more relevant to players watching it because they see the cards that they have access to.
But if you're a professional player, it's making you pull your hair out.
A little bit.
Okay.
Yeah. But I'm okay with it.
All right.
But at the end of the weekend, we did have a winner. Zakaria X Biles Hale wins over Romeric A-Rock Dubois 3-1 and took home the trophy and $32,500. So, good little prize there.
Is it their actual names and then their username in the middle?
Yeah.
Okay. So, Blaze and what beats?
I-Rock. Yep.
Got it. Okay.
So, yeah. Hearthstone stuff is happening.
$32,000, that's not bad.
Yeah.
It's like a start.
And chat is pointing out that it does reward people who are better at building decks, and I think that's a skill true. For a card game like this. I mean, this has always been a thing in something like Magic, where a set will release before a GP, and whoever's skilled at kind of figuring out combos and what works, will have a
Don't Hearthstone teams actually have like teams? Like, they actually have, like, a group of people that they actually strategize with and, like, during competitions.
Yeah, if you're a professional, you have a group of friends that you play with and strategize with.
Yeah.
And generally, they're good about keeping secret your decks and stuff that.
That would be a major betrayal.
But, yeah.
That's, like, all the game news that we've covered.
Yeah, that's game news. But what we always like to do, though, is Heather's favorite thing.
My favorite thing.
The merchandise update, where we dig through the Blizzard Gear Store and see if there's anything new. Check out the third-party partners for Blizzard and see what they have brand new. As Heather shows off on stream.
Yes.
Sorry, audio folks, you can't see it.
Oh, yeah.
You can't see it with sound.
We'll talk about it a little bit. Okay, so first of all, I'm going to gripe the same gripe we've had before. Blizzard Gear Store needs to streamline their filtering categories. Every week I'm checking for this to see what's new because I want to know what's new. And I go to the tab, I go by games, I go to the tab, filter, newest items. There's still things that are there that are old, like manga books, that are not new, but they're on that first
line. I think
they're
just re-releases.
It's really annoying.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go new to us because I'll literally be like, hey, Jimmy, did you know this was a thing? And I'm like, I didn't know. So it's new to us. For example, the Blizzard Gear has these really great skater dresses. Click the link really quick.
Yeah.
Because there's several of them and they're for Overwatch. Scroll down. No. There's free shipping right now till Tuesday. The new to us was actually a sombra purple Overwatch dress. And there's plus sizes, which is really nice. Oh, maybe that's where they're new, because they're plus size.
Possibly,
that
might
be it. That might be and they're by the Bangarang?
Wild Bangarang, which has done the leggings and stuff before. They're a UK store, but...
So they have skater dresses from Sombra, McCree, which looks really cute, Reaper, and then Mora's dress. So if you want to get like a cool skater dress, jersey knit, they're really good fabrics. Like, I've seen a lot of people wear them at conventions and stuff.
Sombra's looks the best, though.
Oh, so pretty. So pretty. If you want to get those, they're like $55. That's the new thing to us. Like, I didn't see that last week. Let's get back to the notes.
Your favorite vice.
So, yeah, Loungefly. I have a love-hate relationship. I was just online shopping over the weekend because, you know, that's what I do. And I was looking at Loungefly's website. If you want to get some Overwatch stuff, go there because they're actually clearancing out a lot of their old series of stuff, which I think are still gorgeous. And the prices are amazing. I may have done a big purchase. So there is, and I'm going to give like the before and after price. There's a White Mercy zip-up wallet by Loungefly from their website. Not a knockoff. Was $40, now $10. That's coming home with me. That's in the mail.
Oh, yeah.
There is a character backpack, which is basically just an overlay of all the characters. The old, the classic characters like Reinhardt and Moira. Not Moira. Lucio, May, all that stuff. The original cast of characters. Just in a backpack. Regular backpack, not the mini backpack. That was $45. It's $8.
Yeah, and this is a nylon backpack with a laptop pocket in it.
I bought that too. Back to the list. Then there's another Overwatch backpack. This one's a logo backpack. It's a yellow backpack. Just a generic, like if you're a nerd and wants to have a backpack for work or school. Pretty good backpack. $70, now down to $20, which is amazing. Another Overwatch back. It's a messenger bag that you can have. It just says Overwatch on the front, white text, really cool pattern on the front, like black patterning. Was $60, now $10. Like, seriously, you can't even get these at, like, Target.
That's pretty good.
Next one is a Reaper backpack. This is similar to the Diva backpack, where it's a larger, normal backpack, but it has, like, a flap that goes over. And it has this kind of annoying slip strap that you have to kind of slide the loop through.
Oh, yeah. It's not a clasp. It's just a thing.
It's kind of annoying, but it's such an overlap lid on it.
Kind of like not a hook.
Yeah, it's like a hook. So that's okay, but it's a Reaper one, and $70, now $15, and it's a good size. You can definitely use that for school or something.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. And then, let's see. Oh, and then here's something that I did notice, because I was looking at Loungefly, and I'm like, okay, these are really cool. I love these. I knew that they came out with the Blizzard Gear Store, the new Diva, and May, and Widowmaker bags and wallets.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, those are really cool. So I went to Amazon. And there's third-party suppliers of Loungefly.
We talked about this last week.
What?
This backpack.
We did talk about this backpack that I'm holding right now and hugging very lovingly. You can go on Amazon, and you can buy it from Loungefly through Amazon, the same stuff on the Blizzard Gear Store. And if you have Amazon Prime, you're going to get free shipping no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
If you have an Amazon credit card, you're going to get double the points. If you have Amazon credit like I did of $30... You're going to put that towards this.
Yeah.
And this $60 backpack that's new is now like $30-something with free shipping. And it was here, and I got this in one day because we're amazing and live near LA.
Well, Prime is one day shipping now for everyone.
No.
Yeah.
That's it's been why
like
it's so that good.
For like a year now, I think. Yeah.
Okay. So if you have Amazon Prime and you want some Loungefly stuff, make sure you're not buying from like a third party knockoff. But even if it is a knockoff, you can just return it through Amazon most of the time. But I loved having to buy the stuff from Amazon because it just made it quicker, easier. I didn't have to go through the fan cash thing that the Blizzard store has.
Yeah.
But I got the Diva backpack, the kitty. I have to go back to the notes. Okay, I had this written down. I got the Diva Black Cat backpack. Say that 3 times fast.
There you go. Diva Black Cat backpack. Diva Black Cat backpack. Diva Black Cat backpack.
So pretty. It has ruffles. It has cat patterns on it. It has Diva on the side. It says Luna on the other side.
Oh my gosh.
And it's a big bag. Like, it legitimately is a big bag. I could put my knitting in here and stuff like that and still have room. I love it so much.
There you
did
go.
You see the patterning on the inside too?
I did not.
It has like this, like,
it's like checkerboard pattern.
It's amazing.
Like red and black.
Yes, yeah. And I even liked the Amazon pictures of their merch better than the Blizzard gear. Because it just showed the outside, never showed the inside.
Mm-hmm.
So it definitely does help to shop around for like any Loungefly stuff that Blizzard has been launching. Because Amazon can sell it. Third parties can sell it. It's not exclusive to Blizzard gear like the Sylvanas backpack. That one I think you can only get through the Blizzard gear store.
Yeah.
So I love my bag. Backpack. It's amazing. It has cat ears. I love it so much. So, I'm happy.
So, other things you wanted to highlight was there are...
I wanted to get, like, a new thing for each game.
Yeah. So, there's the Warcraft 3 Reforged stuff here. I think this was available at BlizzCon, I'm pretty sure.
Or it was announced or something. I feel like the t-shirt was announced, just the logo, Reforged. But then they had, like, this really cool Lordaeron golden emblem shield thing.
Mm-hmm.
on a gray shirt, which is really nice for women or men's shirts. There's a hat, a black hat.
The hat's interesting because it's like, it almost looks like a metal piece kind of on it. I'm sure it's just a plastic gray.
I can't say words.
Yeah. But yeah, there's that. And then here's the storm. This actually looks new to me.
Right?
I don't know if this is new, but there's a Brightwing Emerald Wind fan art t-shirt.
It's a big black t-shirt.
Now, I'm wondering, I think it was a year or two ago, they had like a whole bunch of stuff on like Designed by Humans that was fan art stuff. So I'm wondering if this is some of that, maybe.
Designed by Humans.
It's a store where you can, like, where artists can go and sell merch, basically.
I think they did have something like that. Even at BlizzCon, they had that.
Yeah.
But this is on the Blizzard Gear Store, which is nice. Black shirt has a big, like, almost like circular emblem of, what's it called? An Emerald Wind. Is that one of her skills?
It's one of her alts. Ultimates, yeah.
And it's Brightwing. And she's just saying, you just hear a friend when you look at it.
It makes me think of Gillyweed.
Exactly. Oh. That's her.
Hope you're doing well, Gilly.
Yeah. But yeah, it's another new shirt that's new to us. And I thought it was really cool.
Yeah.
Just in men's sizes, though. But it's a fan art t-shirt. Go to Blizzard Gear. Go to Here's the Storm apparel. And the other cool thing that I saw that was new to me, I even yelled at you. I'm like, have we seen this before? Was a legitimate pillow. Not like a cute little bunny ears. Not the shape of a skull. Not the shape of a frog. But
yeah.
It's a legitimate Hearthstone cardback pillow. And it's by 16 inches by 11 inches by 5 inches. That is a good set. You could actually sleep on that pillow. And I don't know what the Hearthstone back is.
This is the legendary card back.
Okay.
For when you hit legendary rank.
It's a brown card back. That's all I know. And how much was it?
$20. Which is not too bad.
That is like a legit adult purchase. Like, I can't go to Target and buy a pillow that size for $20.
Yeah.
And that just looks really nerdy. It looks kind of velvety too, which looks really cool. So maybe that's on my to-do list.
Yeah.
And then there's another Diablo fan art t-shirt. And this is a gray t-shirt with, what's his name? Dominicus. One of the angels.
Yeah.
With the crazy tentacle, halo tentacle things.
Well, that looks like Diablo and Tychus.
Why does it say Dominicus?
I don't know.
Maybe are they blending the Diablo and Tychus?
Yeah, Tychus. Oh my gosh. Please take away my nerd card. Tyrael.
I went with you on it, though.
Oh my gosh.
Retired.
Yeah, I mean, it says Tyrael does his part by slamming his sweet sword into Diablo's face. What's cooler than angels fighting demons?
Oh my gosh.
Angels fighting demons on a cool t-shirt for all eternity. This Diablo Dominicus fan art t-shirt was a finalist in the Fan Factory Art Design Contest.
It's like we knew about this.
It's the same thing.
Descriptions.
Okay. Yeah, we figured it out.
So that's where, I guess, Diablo's... Or not Diablo. We've been recording for almost an hour and a half. Blizzard, I guess, is now releasing the fan art competition artwork for t-shirts.
Mm-hmm.
So there's one for Here's the Storm. There's one for Diablo.
Yeah.
They both look really cool. I would definitely like to see more of this because there's so much good fan art.
Oh yeah, for sure.
And it's also fun to be like, hey, I made this art and now it's on t-shirt, go buy it. And then another fun, I'm really digging, and I know this probably is not new, but I'm really loving...
This is not new,
but I'm really loving it though. Like, so the legend statues that we have, oh, that looks so weird in the green screen. But the legendary statues that we got from BlizzCon.
Yeah.
They're making them for almost every game. And, like, Artanis has one for StarCraft that I haven't seen until I just, looked before here.
Yeah. Johanna has one.
Yes, I've seen that. That one's okay. I'm not a big fan of Johanna. She's okay. Don't judge me. but it's really cool because I really like how big these figures are and how bright they are. And for $60, like, that's buying a Nendroid, but bigger.
Yeah.
Because Nendroids are, like, $40 to $60. But here, and I like how they have like a similar base and similar stand and similar quality. So I'm really digging how they're doing like a consecutive series of figures for Blizzard legend characters like Greymane and stuff like that.
Oh yeah.
So I'm really liking going through all this, the games and finding stuff. Hopefully they'll fix their newest items, please. Because that would make my life a lot easier.
Yeah, that's just something that they should fix in time.
Fanatics should fix. Please fix.
Yeah, please fix Fanatics.
But I love my backpack and it's so pretty.
Yeah, no, it's good. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think that's the end of episode 11 because that was a lot of news.
So much
for basically
stuff.
Every game.
Every game. Except Diablo 4.
Yeah.
There's a blog post or something coming out.
Yeah, probably in the next couple months.
Yeah.
We ain't talking about there hasn't been any StarCraft news lately.
It's but, there.
I talked about the figures. Then esports should be starting up soon. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited to see how that goes.
Are they on a .gg site?
No, they're on twitch.tv.
Oh, okay. I was looking at that button.
Yeah. I know, you wanted to hit it again.
I really did.
But yeah, that is going to wrap it up for episode 11 of the Nexus Podcast. Oof. Make sure to hit us up on Twitter, hashtag Nexus Podcast, and yes. Ask us any questions you have about Blizzard stuff, and any comments on the show, anything you want us to talk about that we didn't talk about.
Yeah.
We try to cover as much as possible for the majority of players.
Yeah,
we try to be neutral.
You get very determined on your opinion is. And I try to talk you down as nicely as I can.
Yeah, we balance each other out.
Yes.
It's a strange thing how that works.
Yes.
But yeah, make sure to follow me at DJ Tyrant. I stream throughout the week, usually various Blizzard games.
And Control.
Yeah, which I played this last week. That was a lot of fun. But mostly Monday through Thursday nights, I stream on this channel, twitch.tv/DJTyrant. And where can people follow you?
I am H Sailor Moon on Twitter, mainly on Instagram.
Yeah.
H Sailor Moon. I'm super creative.
For sure.
No. yeah.
But yeah, that is going to be it for this episode. Thank you guys for your support. We greatly appreciate it. Thank you, Lashes, for the raid.
Thank you.
Super appreciate that. Miss you. And we'll see you guys next week for another episode of The Nexus.